Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. How can you survive in a world that is upside down? And how can you extirpate yourself from this world and its way? How can you return to God? What is it that you need to do? Now, as we have seen, God judges every individual according to their very thoughts. Likewise, the nations, he does the same thing. This is why, as we have seen, this world and this nation is upside down and in trouble because of sin. Now, here is a great truth you need to always remember. You can never solve spiritual problems by political means. This means that you can't go to the poll and vote for someone who's going to solve a spiritual problem if he doesn't know it's a spiritual problem. Most people look at it, well, we need this policy, we need this law, we need all of the things of politics. But pray tell, is it not all the things of politics and the wrong application of religion, especially Christianity, that has gotten us to this point? Yes, indeed. One of the first fundamental things that everyone needs to understand about his own heart and mind is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, why have all sinned? And you can see this with little children, even in babies. Because we're all born with human nature. We're all born with the innate sinfulness within us.
Put it in the drawer. Put it in the drawer. Put it in there. No, no, sir. No, sir. Huh? No, sir. Put it in the drawer. Good. Now shut the drawer. Now shut the drawer. Shut it. Good.
Sinfulness within us that has to be guided by and overcome by the Word of God so that we don't destroy ourselves and others. And that's why the world is coming apart today, because we don't do that any longer. And we have failed to realize a very fundamental thing that the Bible says about the human heart and mind. So let's come to Jeremiah 17, and let's read it here in verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? That is fundamentally the most truthful statement concerning human nature. Have you ever said to yourself when you have done something that's not right, why did I do this? I don't know why I did it. Well, because your heart is deceitful. Even the very best of people, how many times have the stalwart uprights of the society been caught in deception and lies and sins over and over and over again? But what about you? Fundamental to returning to God is this. You must acknowledge this of your own self. It's like the Proverbs that we covered. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So likewise, think about this. Think about the lies that you have in your mind and your heart. Think about the things that you deceive yourself with. They've even run studies and have found out that the average person tells 3 lies every 11 minutes, whether they tell it verbally out loud or they think it to themselves.
Just have a seat anywhere with a packet and a pen in front of it.
We gave people 20 simple math problems.
Find the 2 numbers that add up to 10.
These are problems that everybody could solve if they had enough time, but we don't give people enough time.
We are going to give you 5 minutes to solve as many as possible.
At the end of the 5 minutes, please stop, put your pencil down and count how many questions you got correctly. And now that you know how many questions you got correctly, take the sheet of paper, go to the front of the room and shred it. People do that, they come to the front, they say they solve 6 problems, pay them $6, they go home.
There you go, thank you for participating.
What the people in the experiment don't know is that we played with the shredder. The shredder shred the size of the page, but the body of the page remains intact. And what do we find? On average, people solve 4 problems and report to be solving 6.
I solved 6.
I don't know if this is embarrassing or not, but I got 6.
I believe I got 7 right.
And this is the root cause of all sin. Now, as we have covered before, God judges every person all the time. He does it through his laws. He does it because his spirit is in the world through the 7 spirits of God, seeking those who are seeking him. And he can know the thoughts of any man, any woman, any time that he needs to. Now, because he's given free moral agency and you must choose, he's not spying on your mind or on your thoughts. Because God's way and God's laws work automatically. If you live in sin, you're going to be deceitful. You're going to be committing things that are against the laws of God. But remember this. Let's read it in verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now, God does this on an individual basis. He does it on a family basis, community basis, state, country, world. Think of it. And this is why the world is upside down. Because of this. And because the works of the flesh. Now let's come to Galatians, the 5th chapter in the New Testament, and see how human nature in action is defined. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, obsessed with sex. Now we've got a series on that. You can go right on Church at Home and study that yourself. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, and lasciviousness is permission to sin. Idolatry, witchcraft. Witchcraft is Satanism. There is no such thing as a good witch.
Now, Mother, promise me, no funny business. Witches on it. I promise, Angel.
It is all Satanism, and what comes from that is the knowledge of good and evil. Hatred, strifes, jealousies. Does this sound like the nightly news? Indignation, contentions, division, sex, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And of such things as these, concerning which I'm telling you beforehand, even as I have also said in the past, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the ultimate goal of human destiny is to enter the kingdom of God. And God's way and God's plan is to take us from this position of being deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, to convict us unto repentance so we can repent of our sins, so he can forgive us our sins, and then, after baptism, receive his Holy Spirit to overcome the human mind, to overcome the sin within. That's the whole purpose of God, see? And this is the only way that we can return to God in a world that is upside down. And it's not just stopping certain actions that we do. It is a conversion of the mind. Now let's come back to Isaiah 55. Now we've been here before, but this is so important that we need to go over it again. Some scriptures need to be gone over again and again and again and again until we really get the point. And, by the way, that's another reason why the Sabbath is Saturday every 7 days, God's day, to learn of his way, to learn of his truth, to learn of his righteousness as we come before him on the Sabbath day to learn of his way. Now here, Isaiah 55. Let's begin in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He'll be right there to help you. But you have to call upon God in a repentant attitude. Now we'll talk about this a little bit more. Let the wicked forsake his way. Who is wicked? Anyone who breaks the commandments of God is wicked. So you have to forsake the way of breaking the commandments of God. You must cease and desist from those things that are contrary to the Ten Commandments that we covered, and you must begin keeping and obeying the commandments of God. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, our thoughts need to be changed. That's what conversion is all about. That's how you get rid of a deceitful carnal mind that does the works of the flesh. You need the Spirit of God. You need the Word of God. You can't work your way out of it by trying to do good. And you can't do it with a hybridized Christianity. You must do it with the Word of God. Notice, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. God will forgive. We will see. He is right there, ready to forgive, willing to forgive. But you must repent. You must yield to God, because God's Spirit will lead you to repentance. And making all of those wrong choices and messing up your life and hurting and destroying the lives of other people, you must have that forgiven and buried in the watery grave of baptism. That's what true Christianity is all about. Now let's continue here. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. The New Testament tells us that the ultimate of conversion is to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How do we get the thoughts of God? Through his word, through study, through prayer, through living God's ways. That's how we return to God. See? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's why we need to come to God and let him give us his thoughts, his word, his truth, his way. See? Now, let's come to Psalm 86, because God is not going to withhold forgiveness if you repent. You look in the Bible and look at those things that men have done and have repented, and God has forgiven. And that's the important thing. You need to have your sins forgiven, covered with the blood of Christ through the grace of God, and you need to be buried in the watery grave of baptism to bury the old man, the old ways, the old thoughts, the way that you have been living, and then receive the Spirit of God to walk in newness of life. So here's part of the prayer that you need to use to get back to God. Verse 1, bow down your ear, O Lord, answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Trust in God. Ask for God's mercy, forgiveness, and help. He will give it. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry unto you all the day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. God will lift away from you the guilt, the sin, all of the problems and difficulties that have come upon you because of going your own way while thinking you're doing right. Now notice, you can claim this promise here in verse 5. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. God is ready. God is willing. God will fulfill his word. God is true. God cannot lie. He will forgive your sins, but you have to return to God his way. Now, this will be entirely different than the upside-down world that we're living in. And this is why we have church at home, because you can go before God on your knees right in your own home and pour out your heart to him. Confess your sins to him. He will forgive. He will blot them out. He will take them from you through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the promise that we have here in 1 John, the first chapter. Let's turn there. 1 John, the first chapter. We have this promise from God, written by the Apostle John. You go to God and you confess your sins, but you have to do as Jesus said, forsake them and go and sin no more. And then let God's Spirit begin to clean up your mind day by day by day by day. Now notice, 1 John 5 and verse 6. If we proclaim we have fellowship with him and are walking in darkness, we're lying to ourselves and are not practicing the truth. See, you can't live in deception, lying to yourself with your deceitful mind that is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. You've got to repent of that. And then practice the truth. What is the truth? The word of God, the commandments of God, the statutes of God, the words of Jesus Christ, the writings of the apostles, the laws of God in the Old Testament. Those are truth. Now notice, verse 7. However, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And notice, the blood of Jesus Christ, his own son, cleanses us from all sin. And God will forgive your sins, blot them out, wipe them away. Now then, you need to put in the word of God to replace all of this sin that has been there. You need to study the Word of God so you can begin to think as God wants you to think, because everything that's contained in the Bible is the Word of God. Now let's come to Psalm 103 and let's claim this promise in your prayers. Quite a psalm. This will help you. What I'm trying to do is give you the information so you can start. If you have never done this, go to a quiet place in your home where no one is around, no music, no nothing, nothing going on. Get on your knees, open up your Bible, and cover some of these verses that we have done, especially here at Psalm 103, and claim this. Confess your sins to him. Tell him all the sins that you have done, the stupid and dumb things that you have done, the anger, the hatred, the bitterness, and all of the things of the works of the flesh that human beings go through, or what you have experienced as well. Now here, Psalm 103 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Yes, you begin to worship God, love God, serve God, and the blessings of God will come to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. And what is the first benefit that is listed? The most important one. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Not only your physical diseases, but also all of the things that are in your mind through sin, which constitute levels of mental and spiritual disease. Notice verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction, and that through the sacrifice, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Boy, isn't that what you need? The comfort of God, relieve these sins, lift the burden from off your shoulders, out of your mind, cleanse your emotions, give you peace of mind and understanding. Isn't that a whole lot better than a deceitful carnal mind that is desperately wicked, that you don't know what you're doing or where you're going? Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in mercy. He will not always chasten, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. No, because the wages of sin is death. And God has not executed you. Isn't that something? But we have to be willing to die for Christ in the watery grave of baptism and be joined to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. When we do that, notice the next verse. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so his mercy is toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Think of that. Have them all blotted out. He will not remember them. Now, you may have trouble getting them out of your mind. That's why you have to come back to God again and again to have your minds cleansed with the washing of the water of the Word. And that is with the Spirit of God and the Word of God combined together. That's why there is prayer, there is study, there is keeping the commandments of God and living God's way. How can you forsake your way if you don't keep the commandments of God? You can't. How can you love God if you don't do the things that are pleasing in his sight? How can you have your mind converted through the power of the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of truth, which is the Spirit of obedience, which is the Spirit of love, if you don't come to him every day in prayer and study? See, this is what true Christianity is all about. This is what is missing in the world's Christianity. Let's read on. Verse 13, as a father has compassion upon his children, so the Lord has compassion upon those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Yes, we're all made from the dust of the earth. We're all weak, sinful nature. But God has his Spirit, his truth, his love, and his word to help us so we can return to him, even though the world is upside down. Now let's read on here. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. But the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place shall know it no more. I thought about that when I was watching the memorial for the invasion of Normandy. And at the end, it showed the rows and rows and rows of crosses and stars of David of those who fought to get rid of the Hitlerian evil in Europe. And one man who was a veteran said, when he went back there, he made it the rest of his life's duty to speak for them, because though those crosses are there, they are forgotten 70 years ago. So it's just like us with our lives, you see. But, verse 17, the steadfast love of God is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness is unto children's children, to those who keep his covenant, and to those who remember his precepts to do them. That's how you return to God. And this is also the whole basis for the New Testament. Because when those who were there heard the speech of Peter, as we covered in the first segment, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So these are some of the ways that we can return to God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and write for the books that we have mentioned. Lord, what should I do? Write for the book Judaism, A Revelation of Moses or a Religion of Men. Write for the book Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which. These are vital and important books for you to have. We send all of them free, thousands of them, and they have been a tremendous help to a lot of people. And a lot of people are turning to God through things like we are presenting here. So we just ask that you write in for these things. We'll send them to you. And so until next time, so long, everyone.